We're doing the book of Nahum. We're up to what's called the third chapter. And the Navi is continuing to talk about Nineveh and the destruction of the Assyrian Empire. And the Navi says, Hoi il damim, woe to you, city who spilt so much blood. Kula kachash perek mileya lo yamish taref. The city was always filled with false testimony. There was injustice in the city of Nineveh. Kachash perek melea. The city is filled with kachash, falsehood. Perek, the breaking of others. Melea, the city was filled. Like perek is like lefarek, to break apart. So the city is kachash perek melea. It's filled with lies and breaking one another. Lo yamish taref. They never stop devouring one another. They're always focused on devouring other nations, attacking. They're an imperialist nation and they're a cruel nation. The Assyrian Empire would attack a nation, conquer it, and then exile all the inhabitants. So it wasn't just about conquering, it was destroying other people's lives. It was taking everything other people owned, including the serenity of having their home territory. It wasn't enough to conquer them, they'd exile them. So they destroyed people's lives. Kol shot v'kol rash ofan. Kol shot, you'd hear them with their whip, with their stick, in the city as they beat their horses. Kol rash ofan, you'd hear their wheels turning. One of the ways that they'd instill fear in the enemy was the noise they'd make as they'd attack, and they'd purposely have whips that made loud noise, and wheels would clank and made loud noise. Visus dohil umirkava merakeda. And the horse would leap forward, and the leaping would cause the chariots to lurch forward. It's called merkava merakeda. The chariot is like it's dancing, it's leaping forward, and this too would instill fear in people. It's like you can never expect what's next. The horse could lurch forward, the chariots would lurch forward. Parash ma'ale v'lahav cherev uvrak chanit v'rov chalal v'chovet pager. Parash ma'ale, Parash is the horseman, so he'd mount himself, and then he'd also when the horse would lurch, would leap, so the horseman had his sword outstretched, and the horse's leaping gave him the capacity to have a lot more strength when he swung his sword. So parash ma'ale v'lav cherev uvrak chanit. You'd see the glint of the knife. You'd see the glint of the spear. V'rov chalal. And you'd see masses falling dead because they'd be charging forward into the crowd. V'chovet pager. And you'd have a weight of corpses. Ve'en keitz el ha'gevi'ah ve'chashelu b'gevi'atam. And there seems to be no end to the number of corpses that the Assyrian Empire leaves behind them, to the point where people are stumbling over the corpses. They can't even walk on the land because the land is so filled with corpses, there's no place left to walk. Merov zenunei zonah tovatchein balat keshafim. They did so much. They wrought such destruction, the Navi says, because there was so much promiscuity, and they had different forms of sorcery, and the way that they'd seduce other countries to come and join them was by using their prostitutes. They had a whole corporation of prostitution and idol worship that they'd be exporting, and when the nations would use their prostitutes, so then they'd find out all the secrets of the nations, and then through their prostitutes they'd get back all the information, and then they could attack and know what the weak points of the city are. So, merov zenunei zona, tovat chen ba'alat keshafim, because they have such a system of prostitution, who are so good looking, and they have all these different aphrodisiacs, and they have all these different forms of sorcery. So, ham mocheret goyim biznuneha, umishpachot bichshafeha. And through this, they could, so to speak, buy into the other nations, and the nations have no way to escape. Whole families were taken by the sorcery that they had. They'd have all these soothsayers that had a reputation, and people would come to them for blessings, and people would come to them for advice, and then they'd know everything about what was going on. They had two types of spies, prostitutes and sorcerers. And they travel around like gypsies, telling people their fortunes and stuff like that. And through that, they'd know exactly what was going on in the enemy city, and then they could attack without the city having any escape. Hineni eilayich ne'um Adonai tzevaot v'gileiti shulayich al panayich. Hashem says, so I will fight you, Hashem says to the Assyrian Empire. V'gileiti shulayich al panayich, and I will turn your dress up over your face, being that the Navi compared her to a prostitute, so he uses that type of terminology. He says, so this time I'll really turn the skirt up over you. To shame you, or to reveal you. Now everyone's going to see what you're all about, and it's a way of saying, I'm going to take you down this time. Until now you could be seductive and bring others down. Now I'll disclose what's really going on, and I'll take you down. Hashem says, when I take you down, Hashem describes it using a similar analogy. They used prostitution, so Hashem describes taking them down as the, so to speak, undressing them.
Not necessarily Hashem, but the prophet.
Yeah, the prophet. Okay.
If
yeah.
There's another prophet, you could see it in a different way.
Right.
Is that right?
Right, right. Yeah.
Is this standard that Hashem seems to have for the nations, like, obviously he really cares how they treat not just the Jewish people, but other nations, like, is that, as a Jewish people, as part of our mission in this world, are we supposed to encourage the nations and be involved in getting the nations to, like, can we see genocide or nations, you know, the nations, should we care then? Should we, it's like, obviously Hashem cares, should we be involved, should we try to fix these problems?
So those are three different questions.
Okay.
Question number one, should we care? We should care. Our job is to care about all of humanity, and when we hear about genocide, it should bother us. Question number two, what should we do about it? So we are supposed to be a light unto the nations. If there'd be a real UN, then we should be there, and we have a real moral system. You see the UN, and you see that Iran and Sudan, they're the ones running women's rights. It's very interesting. It's a mockery. The truth is that we have a goal in this world, but it's like an undercover goal. It's not an overt goal that we're supposed to go out and do something specifically, but rather in general. Part of what we're supposed to do is be a light unto the nations. How that's supposed to play itself out is a machlokas. That's a discussion among the commentaries. Is that part of the idea of the exile? That wherever we are, they learn from us a little bit? Was that part of the idea of the diaspora? And that's why some were not so in favor of Zionism for that reason. Because they said, we still have an impact to give the world. So there were rabbis who said that was the reason why we were supposed to stay out there, till the world was elevated more. The third question, are we supposed to get involved? Are we supposed to actively do something? Well, we always have a series of priorities. If all the hungry were fed here, if all the injustices in our country were fixed, if we had things running the way they should, and our country were on a high enough level, then yes, our next interest would be like the time of King Solomon's reign, where he brought peace to the world. Avraham Avinu also brought peace to the world. that there is a level where we're supposed to get to, where we will impart peace onto the world. That's the idea of Naimos HaMashiach. That's part of the idea of what we say, Az Yomru Vagoyim. Then the nations will say, Yigdil Hashem Lasot Imena, look at them. And then the Navi describes that they'll come and say, let us learn from them. Whether today we are actively supposed to be pursuing that, so it's a good question. Technically, it seems like it's not that it isn't important, but rather that there are so many injustices that we're not dealing with at home that we can't yet invest those assets, the strength to do that, and we also don't have the power to do that. Anyway, if the United States can't put down the conflict in Somalia and in Rwanda and all over the world with their great army, so what are we going to say? So right now it's not a practical question, and if an individual asks, where should I put my funds? So there are Jews that are dying of hunger, there are Jews that don't have the money for medical treatment, so a person has to first look at home before he looks outwards to help. Yes, people are in error, and they think that we're only focused on things being good over here, and that's not true. One of our jobs is to elevate the whole world. And we're supposed to care about humanity. It says, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. God says, I like humanity, for I created them in my fashion. The Jewish people are my children. They have a special place by me. But all of humanity is special. We're special among the special. But yes, it's unfortunate that people forget that. But practically, today, the practical applications are not so relevant anymore. Or they're not so relevant yet. Maybe they will be. But that's just because we have an order of preferences. Meaning it's on the list. It's just that there are other things that come first.
So, if I don't know that mentioned the point of the prophets kind of also, in a sense, uncovering who these people are. But the prophet also, he's doing that through his prophet. But you're saying right now it's not our point to go and make sure people recognize what these nations are doing. That we need to focus on ourselves first.
If a person has a lot of extra time and he could post two things, let's say on his blog or on his Facebook, so why not? I mean, if it's a small amount of time, why not? If it's a question of investing a large amount of time, a large amount of effort, so then we say there are a lot of hungry children out there. There's a lot to do at home. And there are a lot of problems here. And, a lot of problems. So, I mean, this is a true example over here. There's a huge problem of prostitution in this country, too. I'm not only talking about Jewish girls, I'm talking about trafficking non-Jewish women, too. It's maybe the second highest problem here in this country, sociologically. There are a lot of problems here. And people aren't aware of it. People don't realize what's really going on. So Hashem says to the Assyrian Empire, I will turn on to you and I will, so to speak, unclothe you, which is a reference to I will reveal who you are, I will destroy you. V'hireti goyim ma'arech u'mamlachot kilonech. And I will show the nations ma'arech. I will show the nations as you are destroyed. Or ma'arech could either mean the destruction, or it could mean like erva. I will show the nations your shame, your being uncovered. U'mamlachot kilonech, and I will show the kingdoms your disgrace. Vehishlachti alayich shikutzim b'ni baltich, and I will throw upon you dirty clothing. I will throw upon you dirt. And being that you tried to seduce the nations, so I will make you defiled, Hashem says. V'samtich kiroi, I will make you like stool, or I will make you like roi literally is stool, but over here the idea is I'll make you filthy.
Are you still doing
feces,
or you
feces? Feces. But the roi means dirt, filth. Um, Dehaya cholcho ayich yidod. Mimeich, whoever sees you will walk away from you. Suddenly you won't be enticing. The amar shadida ninvei mi yanud la. And he will say, whoever sees you will say, look at how Ninveh's been plundered. Who's going to weep over her? Meyayin avakesh menachamim lach. Where am I going to find people to comfort you? Hateitevim mino Amon. Do you think you're any better than No, who had so many people? No, in the city of Amon, that's, according to some commentaries, that's Alexandria. And Amon could be the state where is the city of No, or else Amon could mean like Hamon, that had so many people. Are you any better than them? Hayosheva by Orim Mayim Saviv La. She sat by the Nile with water all around her. Ashelchel Yam Miyam Chomata. That she had a tremendous army. And she had a wall that was the sea that protected her. And she had such a great protection. And nonetheless, she fell down. Kush otzma umitzayim de'en keitze. Kush was the strength of No. Kush was the city that also came to protect the people of Egypt when they were attacked. And ve'en keitze. It seemed like there was no end to the number of people who came to support Egypt so they wouldn't fall. Put veluvim hayu be'ezratech. The city of Put and Luvim, who you're assuming will help you if anyone tries to attack you, well, they also helped her, and you see, it didn't help her any. Gam hi lagola halecha vashevi. And with all this might, nonetheless, the Egyptians went into exile. They went, the custom captured them, and they were taken into captivity. Gam olalea yerutashu berosh kol chutzot. The custom were so cruel that throughout the marketplaces you'd see children and pregnant women who were bashed to death. Ve'al nichbadeha yadu goral v'chol gedoleha ruteku vazikim. And they'd make lots between them. Who's going to take the honorable ones among the Egyptians? And whoever had a little bit respect was saved and was taken out in shackles. Gam at tishkiri tihinalama. You too, says the Navi, will be made drunk. You're not going to be any better than her. Things are going to go so bad that you're going to be like a drunk. You're going to be confused from the mayhem that will ensue. Tehina alama, you will disappear from the world. Gam at tevakshi ma'oz me'oyev. And you too will search for strength to save you from the enemy. And it's not going to work, Hashem says. Kol mivtzarayich te'enim im bikurim. All the cities that you had fortified are going to be easy to conquer, as though they were fresh dates. That when the date is fresh, fresh figs. When the fig is fresh, then the slight wind causes it to fall off the tree. When the fig is fully ripe, so even the wind can knock it off the tree. That's the way it's going to be with you, Hashem says. Kol mivtzaraich, all your great fortification, te'inim im bikurim, it's going to be like figs that are fully ripe, that are easy to pick. Im yino'u v'nafelu al pi ochel. If you simply shake them, they fall down for the one who eats them. So you're going to be easy prey, and Hashem is going to ensure that you get conquered. So now the question is, should we pause here and finish the Sefer next week, or should we do the next six psukim and finish this week? What's the vote?
We're going to do a siyum at the end of it?
I don't know. I'm three prakim to do a siyum. Seems a little...
All right, that's fine. That's why I was wondering if it's only...
I mean, we have cake here, but I don't know... I wouldn't wait for them. That's not... You guys have koach? Should we make a run for it? Finish?
I'm fine with finishing it. We have more
chance. Whatever you say.
Let's finish.
Okay. Hinei ameich nashim bekirbech le'oyevayich patoach niftechu sharei artzech. The Navish says, it's going to be as though only women are in your nation. Meaning no one's going to be able to hold back the enemy when he comes and attacks. There won't be anyone that's considered brave in this war. Le'oyevayich. The enemies are going to view it as though patoach niftechu sharei artzech. As though the gates are open. It's going to be so easy to conquer you, Hashem says. When I'm going to decree for you to be conquered, you're going to be easy prey. It's as though the fire burnt down the bolts of the city, because it's going to be easy for the enemies to enter. Hashem says, why don't you prepare yourself water for the siege? Because you're not going to be able to leave the city to draw water. The enemy will kill anyone who exits the city. So, mein matzol shavilach, draw yourself waters for the siege. Chazakim yivtzarayich, strengthen your fortification. Try it, Hashem says. Boi vatit verim sivachomer hachazikim malbein. Go, bring more mortar. Put it against the wall. Try to fortify the city even better. Hachaziki malben. You hold on to bricks to try and fix any breaches in the wall. Sham tochelechesh. But it's not going to work, Hashem says, because over there within your fortifications, you're going to see that the fire will consume you. Tachriteich cherev. The sword will cut you down. Tochelech kayalek, and you'll be consumed like a grasshopper. Just like when a grasshopper comes, he destroys. You have a plague that comes. No one can stand in their way. They just eat anything that's green. So too, when the enemy comes, no one will stand in their way. Hitkabet kayalek, hitkabeti ka'albe. Hashem says, you're going to be cleaned up. Just like the grasshoppers come, you're going to be cleaned up, just like the arbe, another type of grasshopper. Hashem says there's going to be you're going to be wiped clean. He'll bathe.
Why is it hitkabed and then hitkabdi?
I don't know. You're saying one's zacha and one's nekeva. I don't know. Hitkabed, you're going to be cleaned. So the cleaning is zachar. Kayelek, like the cleaning is performed by the yelek, that type of grasshopper. Hitkabedi, you, the female Assyrian Empire, will be cleaned. One is speaking about the action. The action is zahar. Hitkabed, the cleaning will be kayelek, like the grasshopper. And you, the Assyrian Empire, the female, hitkabedi, will be cleaned kalbe, like the locust that's called albe, cleans. Fair enough, yeah.
Is
the action itself.
Are these imperatives? Keep kabed.
I don't know what imperatives are.
Is that a command?
Heat kabed is the action. Heat kabed, you will be cleaned.
So it's not commanding somebody to do an action, it's stating a future. What will happen to you in the future?
Or else you could understand that hitkabed is God's command to the kasdim.
Okay.
But I don't think so. I think it's an action. The Radak says it is a command, but then I don't understand how he explains the hitkabdi.
Right. I thought this was a command, like the form. So that's why I was kind of confused how it could be masculine.
I'm not sure. The Ibn Ezra also learns that Shem HaPoal Hitkabdi. I don't know enough grammar. I don't know.
Okay.
Someone who knows grammar will be able to answer you.
Right.
Rashi Bichlal learns that Hitkabdi is not you will be cleaned. Hitkabed Kayelek means you'll be weighed down like the grasshopper weighs down and on an Asian it takes, and hit kabdi is like a large number of troops, and then hit kabdi would be turning to the attackers. You, the attackers, hit kabdi, come with large numbers of troops like arbe. But I don't know.
Okay. That's,
Yeah.
Okay.
The Malbim also learns that hit kabed is a commandment. So, I don't know. You had more merchants than the stars in the heavens. Yelek pashat vayaof. And Hashem says, and now they're going to be like the grasshopper that spreads its wings and flies away. So too, all these merchants that you had are going to be whisked away in captivity. You had so many officers, you had so many aristocrats. From your tremendous number of aristocrats, they numbered like locusts. Vitafsiraich, tafsar is like a vice president. Kegov govai. They're also going to be, govai is also a type of locust. Hachonim bagiderot biyom kara, that when there's a scorching hot day, so they'll go to the fences. When there's a cold day, they go to the fences. Hachonim bagiderot, they go to the fences biyom kara on a cold day. Shemesh zarecha v'nodad, but when the sun shines, then it's warmer. Then each one goes its own way, and you can't tell they ever stayed on that fence. And no one can tell exactly where they were because they just leave. And that's what's going to be with all the aristocrats of Nineveh. You won't be able to tell when they leave. No one's going to be able to there won't be any remembrance of them. Some will be killed, some will be taken into captivity, and no one will have an accounting whatever happened to them. Just like the locusts, that they, on a cold day, they wait on the fences, and when the sun starts shining, they all run away. Your shepherds, you Assyrian king, you should know that your officers at war, they all, it's just like they fell asleep. Your brave soldiers, they're all staying in their ground and they're not going to war against the enemy. Nafishu amecha al harim ve'ein mikabetz. The nation went out on vacation on the mountaintops, and there's no one to gather them to go out to war. Everyone's too busy in vacation. In keha le shivrecha nachla makatecha. In keha, there's no one here who can try and lighten the blow. En keha leshivrecha, no one can lighten the blow. Nachlama katecha, and so your blow is going to make you tremendously ill. Kol shomeishim acha, anyone that hears of your downfall, takeucha falecha, ki almi lo avera ra'atcha tamid. Whoever hears of your downfall will clap, because who's around who you haven't harmed? Hashem says you've harmed everyone. So when your turn comes, everyone's just going to clap. Everyone's going to be happy at your downfall. So the Navi Nachum focused on the Assyrian Empire, focused on the destruction of Nineveh in the Assyrian Empire. That's how he began. You remember Masa Nineveh? His focus is on Nineveh, on the downfall of Nineveh. He concludes with the downfall of Nineveh. He mentions us in passing that things will go better for Israel and they'll no longer have to fear the Assyrian Empire's threat. But his focus is on the destruction of the Assyrian Empire. And this brings us into the next great work, The book of Habakkuk, one of the most... you have a work here that's very short, but very, very powerful. Habakkuk, again, we are not going to be told exactly when he lived. Our tradition is that he was in the same period as Yoel and Nahum, in the period of Menashe. And again, our sages didn't want to attribute it to the period of Menashe because they didn't want to give him that honor. Habakkuk is coming from a different angle than Nahum. Nahum is closing the circle, so to speak. Meaning, Yonah told us about the Assyrian Empire that will exile the 10 tribes. So Nahum comes and gives the prophecy of the destruction of the Assyrian Empire. Along comes Habakkuk, and he sees in prophecy how Nebuchadnezzar will rule the world and destroy the Jewish people. And when he sees that, he turns to God. And he does something that Moshe Rabbeinu did. When Moshe Rabbeinu had his sister taken over by Tzaras, Moshe drew a circle in the sand and said, God, I'm not walking out till you cure her. And Habakkuk does a similar thing. It seems to have some Kabbalistic weight, this idea of drawing a circle in the sand. He draws a circle in the sand and he says, God, I'm not leaving this circle till I understand. How could it be? And Habakkuk, the first chapter is Habakkuk's claim. Habakkuk's claim against God. How could it be that the wicked are so successful? And that's why the book of Habakkuk is such a pivotal work. It's like the book of Iyov. Iyov takes a long time to explain his dilemma and the answer. The book of Habakkuk in 3 short chapters. You have Habakkuk's claims, you have God's answer, and then Habakkuk's apology at the end of the book. That's the whole book. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll see starting next week.